Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, it's time to talk about the NBA Finals and the Game 1 overtime win for the Warriors over the Cavs. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, Game 1 of the NBA Finals was a thriller. It goes overtime, and the Warriors are fortunate to escape with a victory because it looked like the Cavaliers, they were going to have the great chance there at the end. If George Hill makes both free throws, who knows what the Warriors do with about, I think it was 4.5 seconds to go. They were going to call a timeout and get the ball at half court, but none of that happened because J.R. Smith got the rebound on the missed free throw, and of course, the rest is history because he is now an infamous member of NBA history. You know, kind of reminded me of Chris Webber when he called that timeout that Michigan didn't have in the final of the NCAA championship. I mean, this time, you know, it seemed like he didn't know that it was a tie game, that he thought the Cavs had the lead. He said differently in the post game, but what were your thoughts, especially about that play, because that really was the big play in the game?
Yeah, JR's gaslighting us. Of course, he thought the game was that they were up. He said so on the court to LeBron. He mouthed the words. Reporters could have asked him about that post game. They kind of in a roundabout way asked him about his state of mind. All you do is ask LeBron, did JR say to you, I thought we were up? Because if you read lips, that's pretty much what he was saying on the court. It'll go down as one of the biggest blunders in NBA and sports history if the Warriors are to go on and win this series, as I expect them to do. And by the way, just parenthetically, George Hill, in a small way, thankful that JR took his spotlight because he might have ended up being the GOAT, you know.
Right.
But you know, a few things about that play. First of all, is anybody boxing out JR? How about a box out so that you don't get that rebound? And okay, let's say we buy JR's post game explanation that he was trying to go out and find LeBron. And Draymond's right, post-game, he said, that's what I would have done. I would have tried to throw it to LeBron. Well, he ran all the way out to midcourt. If, you know, knowing that there's just 4-point-something seconds left, you got to get the ball out there right away. And, you know, maybe he was trying to dribble around. Oh, stop it. Stop it, Ray. He didn't know. That's the problem. He just didn't know. He was just panicking in that situation. The look on his face said it. The look on LeBron's face said it. With his arms outstretched, and LeBron has become a meme all over social media today with a lot of hilarious captions. It's going to be this whole sequence at the end of the game and in overtime. So many stories coming out of this. The most I've seen in an NBA game since, well, 2016 and the finals between the Warriors and the Cavaliers. And I know a lot of people were bemoaning a fourth version of this NBA Finals, but I think it's really compelling stuff. And that was a crazy, really high energy and intense game one. I thought the Cavaliers brought the fight to the Warriors. They deserve all the credit. They've got to be chewing nails today that they let it slip away, and I think they did. Any chance they had of winning this series, they had, I think, had to take game one. Now, they could come back and do the same thing in Game 2 and go back to Cleveland with a split. And LeBron is just unbelievable. He's you know, when he's on, there's nobody that can contain him. Some guys can slow him down. But I think that a lot of stuff has to go the Cavaliers' way. It didn't last night, and that's going to be probably the death knell in the series for them.
We'll be right back with more Dubs OT in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
A lot of people will talk about the LeBron James game, you know, the stat line being that he had 51 points and 8 assists and, you know, just did a fantastic job in the game, eight rebounds as well. But what you talked about, I think, as far as rebounds, that last rebound, not getting the board there, that was a problem the entire game. I mean, the Warriors were out-rebounded by, 15, I think, in the game. So, I mean, if the Warriors are going to win this series and in every game they come out and they don't get the rebounds like happened in this game, I think they could be in for a long series and a lot of trouble.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons the Cavaliers were able to stay close, and that was part of why I thought they brought better energy into the Warriors. Not that the Warriors' energy level was low, it just didn't quite match the Cavaliers, and that was evident in that regard and in 50-50 balls. And also kind of porous defense for the Warriors is the Cavaliers were shooting close to 60% in the first half. But I think that they can improve those rebounding numbers. I think that, you know, I wouldn't say that's an anomaly, but that was just a dominant performance on the boards. And I think that's going to be one of the things that's emphasized going into game two. Of course, another story going into game two is, will Andre Iguodala play? And if he plays, maybe they slow down LeBron a little bit.
Yeah, that is a huge story because Iguodala being out, he's not there to guard LeBron James. I mean, you had a number of different players that were trying to do so, including Kevon Looney. And Looney, by the way, made some pretty nice plays on offense. I mean, that might have been the most involved that he's been as far as, you know, some of those lobs and follows and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, if you don't have Iguodala, it's a defense by committee. And even with Andre, you're sort of doing that with LeBron. I think he's going to get his 40 to 50 points a game. It's sort of the other guys, because you saw that Kevin Love did score 21, even though he didn't shoot the three ball well. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, it looks like, in this series. But for the most part, I mean, you know LeBron's going to get his points, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the conundrum if you play the Cavaliers. Do you say, well, LeBron's going to get his, let's stop everyone else? Or do you say, let's try to muzzle LeBron as best we can, and that'll cause their offense to go off track? I think that you do everything you can to try and slow him down, recognizing that he's so great that he can get his points in any number of ways. And yeah, they had a lot of guys, and here's the problem when you switch and you end up ISO on LeBron, almost anybody is going to be a disadvantage against LeBron. There's really nobody in the league that can stop him. You can just try to slow him down a little bit and try to wear him down a little bit, and maybe the shots don't fall late in the game, and we've seen that from time to time. I thought Steph Curry actually did a decent job against him, got a couple of steals. Kevon Looney did well a couple times. You know who did well a couple times against LeBron? JaVale McGee.
Yeah, in that short stint there. Yeah, third quarter.
Yeah, he didn't. LeBron couldn't get him in the air. JaVale kept his feet, kept in front of him. I thought did a pretty good job. And JaVale's minutes early in the third quarter, I thought, were pretty key as far as the Warriors' comeback. It wasn't the knockout third quarter, but they did take the lead and take control of the game for most of the second half after that. And I think you're going to see JaVale again, at least for a few minutes. This is a lot better than the Anderson Barajau minutes at center a couple of years ago, especially after Andrew Bogut got hurt. And by the way, I go back to that a lot. Andrew Bogut's injury in the 2016 finals was huge for the Warriors because LeBron could go to the hoop with impunity. At least Bogut would put a hurting on him while he fouled him and sometimes would get a blocked shot. They lost that as well as the Draymond suspension. But anyway, fast forwarding to 2018, it's a different game now. JaVale could be there for block shots. Durant could be there for block shots. But If I'm going to do anything with LeBron, I try to keep him out on the perimeter and hope he misses. Because once he gets to the hoop, he's unstoppable, as Looney found with 50 seconds to go in regulation. And when LeBron made that and one, showing his incredible strength, I thought, man, the Cavs are going to steal this. And then stuff happened.
Dubs OT continues after this from Toscalito Tyron Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
An interesting development at the end of the game was the fact that Sean Livingston was out there in crunch time. And he had a great game, by the way, because he just seemed to be in the right place at the right time. He scored his 10 points. He was 4-for-4. And instead of him, you know, being the starting player, he was the guy who finishes the game. Instead of having, you know, the starting player, which is Kevin Looney, you know, the fifth player that would be out there, it went to Livingston. So what do you see developing in this series? I mean, is that just because Steve Kerr had a feeling there and he didn't have Iguodala available, or do we see this again?
Yeah, I think it's part of the rotation dilemma that Kerr has with Iguodala out. And no telling when Iguodala gets back. And just a little bit about the end there, where Livingston shot the shot with the shot clock running out. I think Steve Kerr's right about that. You know, the game tells you, you got to shoot the ball. And, you know, was it rubbing it in that Sean Livingston actually attempted a shot? Did it really matter, except for people who had the spread at 12?
You know, right.
I don't know who else... But it mattered to Tristan Thompson, and he was already a little bit salty. LeBron was very salty. He was already jawing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I'd like to know what he said to them. He might have been saying to Klay, hey, you should have been the GOAT after fouling George Hill. Klay's like, well, that's not the way it worked out. I'm just imagining a conversation that might have been going on there. And then, the referees lost control of it there. They never should have gotten to the point where Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green were head-to-head. They should have gotten in the middle of that. And then Tristan got the ball in the face of Draymond. All I can say is if that was Draymond, if the roles were reversed, there'd be a suspension being announced today. But that's not what's going to happen. It's just the politics of the league. We understand that. And Draymond has, of course, a track record leading up to that. That works against him. But yet we all know how this would have gone. It would have been an automatic. I don't think it's an automatic in this case. And, you know, by the way, if you have the ball and the clock's running down, are you thinking of rubbing it in? Well, maybe Draymond was. Maybe some other guys were. Maybe some fans were. They didn't care how the Cavaliers felt. I don't think that's what was in Sean Livingston's head at that moment. What Sean should have told Tristan is, hey, I thought the game was tied.
Well, you could have said that would have really been mean, but I mean, when you got a situation where you're not going to be able to run down the clock, the shot clock, I mean, generally you could take a shot there. I don't know. It just seemed like it was frustration. You know, it could have been totally different. This game could have been totally different if Klay Thompson couldn't come back from what looked like was going to be an ugly injury. I mean, his knee got contorted there. He goes out, he comes back in. They say it's a contusion and then he's okay. It's just amazing to me that he could come back, and then he scores 24 points. And at first I thought, oh, when he first took a shot, I think his first shot might have been an air ball. I thought, oh, man, he doesn't look like he's himself. But just like Steph Curry, these guys, they get out there, they might have one or two shots where they don't look like themselves, and then he's fine, and he just contributes.
Yeah, the key was just getting back into the flow, and then, the adrenaline takes over, and you're not thinking about it. And it appeared Klay was in that mode. And, you know, the Warriors had close calls a few times in game one. The Klay injury that could have been worse, could have been a lot worse if you looked at the replay. It looked bad. And then Klay slamming the floor, you thought, oh no, this is it. You thought it right there. And the fact that he was able to come back and play effectively, and he says he will play in game two. The Warriors dodged one there. And then, of course, they dodged one at the end on the block charge call that was adjudicated by the referees on review. We can get into that. they dodged it with J.R. Smith and his blunder at the end of the game. So I'm sure a lot of fans are saying the Warriors are lucky today to get that win. In some respect, they are. As Draymond said post-game, sometimes you need luck. This team is too good anyway. And I'm sure the Cavaliers are thinking, man, you know, they got all the breaks. And already we're coming in on a disadvantage. The Cavaliers gave everything they had. They threw everything they had at them and couldn't get that win. And the Warriors were fortunate to get it, but they got it.
We'll continue our conversation about Game 1 of the NBA Finals right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
You know, that call on the block, that was very interesting because initially it was called a charge. LeBron got in there. It was kind of late, I thought, but he was outside the semicircle there. I thought he was in a little late. I also thought Durant maybe was fouled on the play before he even got to LeBron James. It looked like he got hit on the arm before that, but that's neither here nor there. They ended up making the call, which was blocked. They reversed it. I thought it was a good call, but, you know, that could have gone either way.
Well, the NBA came out with a statement saying exactly why the referees went to the review, and the rules allowed them to. I know there's some people complaining that they went outside the rules. No, they didn't. Tyronn Lue saying that's the first time it's happened in NBA history. I don't think that's the case. I think Kevin Durant recalled a play that happened to him last year similar to that. Where the doubt was, well, there's two things. First of all, you had Kenny Maurer make one call and Tony Brothers make another call. So the two, you know, that late in the game when you're allowed to review, you want to find a way to get it right. You know, I'm not a big fan of Tony Brothers as a referee, but at least they tried to get it right. It wasn't handing a call to the Warriors. Then it's how do you get to that? How do you get to that review? Well, you can ask for it if you're not sure if somebody was in the, in the restricted area. It sure appeared, you know, if you look at it live action, how could you not see that LeBron James was out of the restricted area?
Yeah.
Then you had another defender there, too. I think it was Jeff Green. And so, you know, you got to look and make sure. And then you are allowed to look at other things. And I think it was the proper call to reverse it. I know, we're doing the Warriors podcast. Oh, you're a homer. Well, okay. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy on the telecast was saying, well, you're allowed to move. Yes, but you're not allowed to throw a tight end shoulder block at somebody. And given LeBron's considerable shoulders, that's a foul. You're going to feel it. He's not only moving, but moving his shoulder right into him. So to me, it clearly was a block. It's not even any question to me that it was a block. In real time, though, you look at it, yeah, it might have looked like a charge. Those are always hard to do in real time. That's why we have replay. I think replay and review have worked much better in the NBA than it has in Major League Baseball. And I think in the end, they got the call right. It was kind of a roundabout way to do it, but they got the call right. And it was huge for the Warriors. And that's another way that maybe it doesn't always happen at the end of an NBA game, but it happened in the finals because they absolutely positively wanted to make sure they got it right. And they did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought they definitely got it right. You know, Mike Breen actually, I thought, made a good point on the ABC ESPN telecast. He was talking about how you have to keep playing even if you don't agree with the official's call, because we do see it a lot. We've talked about it all year, how the players are, you know, just so upset with every call made by the officials. And we saw LeBron James kind of go off the rails a little bit at that time, and I think other times, where, yeah, he's not looking to just keep playing. He's sort of more interested in arguing with the official. And Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy disagreed with Mike Breen. They said, well, you know, it's such a bad call that he can't just get past it. I agree with Mike Breen. What do you think?
Mike Breen was right on it last night. He was right on it in anticipating what the officials were going to do in that situation. He understands the rules. I don't think a lot of people knew the rule that the referees could review it that way. But, this is a guy obviously paid attention when they have the meetings with the officials preseason, and you're the announcer, you got to know the rules. And does it shock me that two coaches disagree on that? No, not at all. it was not a bad call. I don't care what they say. It was not. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, Mark Jackson's salty against the Warriors anyway. I don't know what the situation, what his motivation was there. But, like I said, Van Gundy can say, yeah, you're allowed to move. But, sure, you don't have to be planted in position, but you have to be pretty much set. You don't have to be a statue. But when you're moving your shoulder into somebody like that, it is a foul. It is a block. I don't care what anybody says. Don't at me. Don't at me, Van Gundy. It is a block. That's the bottom line there. So, I you know, Breen, of course, we had him on the podcast earlier this year for a good reason. Not only because he's one of the best announcers out there and a good guy, but he knows his stuff. And we were talking about that very thing about complaining. And listen, emotions in the NBA Finals at the end of a game, I get it. People are going to get emotional. LeBron can be a crybaby sometimes, as we know. Great, 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 great player, but a crybaby at times. He's not the only one. He's not the only one, but he can be. You know, he had a lot to be upset about last night and in the postgame press conference. Although I've got to say, bold move to go with the short pants suit and the man purse. Bold move.
And then get badgered by Mark Schwartz from ESPN, right?
Yeah. I used to work with Mark in Salt Lake City way back in the days. We had a show, a nightly talk show in the mid-'80s at the great KDYL in Salt Lake City. We covered the Jazz extensively. So I knew Mark pretty well for a few years there and enjoyed working with him. But he doesn't mind if he thinks he's got a line of questioning. I'll tell you this. I know this about him. He's not going to back down from it. He's taking a lot of heat for that today. Like I say, maybe if I'm asking the question I ask, what did J.R. Smith say to you? Did he say that he thought we were up? You know, be specific that way as opposed to state of mind. But Mark's done great for himself. I'm so proud of him because he went to ESPN only a few years after we left Salt Lake City while I was toiling in the minors. So I can't criticize the guy. Yeah, but he's been there, close to 30 years. There's a reason he's in the position he's in. I don't know. Maybe he'd take back a little bit of what happened in that questioning. But at the end, I don't think he cares, and I wouldn't care either if the player got upset. You know, I understand it's after the finals, and you know, you get to a point where you've had it, but he shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Yeah, well, the only thing I thought was, I didn't really think it was right to be asking the Warriors players about it, although, I mean, they handled it well. I mean, especially Steph. He just said, you should just ask J.R. Smith, not me. I mean, how do I know what's going on in his mind?
Yeah, unless he was standing next to him, and then you ask him, did you hear what J.R. said, right?
Right.
But he wasn't next to him, and with the crowd noise, you can't hear that 15, 20 feet away. So other than that, I don't know. Maybe I just ask, what did you think of the sequence at the end? What did you think J.R. Smith was doing? Something like that. What was your view of what J.R. Smith was doing? But, to kind of go and try to read J.R. Smith's mind is a dangerous thing to do. J.R. Smith, by the way, as I've told a million times probably, nearly ran over my foot on his scooter at the queue in the NBA Finals in 2015. I think it was before Game 3. And so I've had it in for him ever since. But no, actually, he probably should have run over my foot. I probably have a retirement account by now.
Wow, he almost takes out Klay Thompson after he almost took you out. So that's not right. Well, Ray, I know you're gonna.
Goes that man again.
Yeah, I know you're gonna be a.
by the way, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in, but there was one other play that J.R. Smith was involved in that was kind of huge at the end of the half, where he went for the kamikaze steal, and here's Steph Curry from near half court. Making a three to tie the game at the half. I thought that was a nice little momentum play as well. So J.R. Smith was definitely left his stamp on that game.
Oh, and that was an incredible three. Even though Steph's made a bunch of those before, it's still pretty cool to see him do it in the finals from that deep, however far away. That's, you know, like 35 feet away. That's awesome. So, Ray, you're going to be at Game 2 at Oracle. It should be a great atmosphere. The Cavs have 2 days to stew over what happened in Game 1. I really hope you enjoy it. What are you looking forward to in Game 2?
Well, first of all, will Andre Iguodala play? You know, we're talking about a bone bruise, and I've heard some sports talk Those damn sports talk hosts, I tell you, they're always shooting their mouths off. But I've heard some talk about Andre letting his team down. Why isn't he out there? This isn't too important. It's a bone bruise. Bone bruises can be nasty. Bone bruises can be lingering. It's part of what kept Kevin Durant out longer last season, if you'll remember. It can not only cause a great deal of pain, but swelling as well. So if Andre Iguodala could not make it for a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals, to get to the finals, you know it's pretty serious. You know it's problematic. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's out for a while longer. But if I'm the Warriors, I'm planning that way. But if he comes back, it's a bonus. That's going to be a big one. You know, I don't know how long he'll be able to go. They'll probably go a little easy as far as the minutes. But anytime he's out there, you know two things. They're going to turn the ball over less because he's going to run the offense a little bit better, make the smarter play, and kind of stabilize guys on the court. And number two, he's going to be a little tougher guard for LeBron James. Doesn't mean he's going to stop LeBron, but you know, in the 2015 finals, that's one of the reasons that he won MVP, because of the defense he had on LeBron, where he's able to wear him down as time went on. So if they're able to have him out there for 10, 15, 20 minutes, that's a bonus. That's the number one thing I'm looking for. Number two, is there a way LeBron could not go like 19 for 14 in the first half? Can you at least slow him down in the first half? And number three, hit the boards. Hit the boards harder than you did in game one.
Yeah, those are all good points. I agree. And looking forward to seeing game two. Enjoy it in person there, Ray. And thanks a lot for talking here today.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.